T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Apples and oranges, LeBron's and KD's. KD does not operate the way LeBron does. You knew years ago.
They're tight. You saw them both talking
people,
like they were
though,
pitcher
Jim.
Catcher.
They both have TV shows.
Mouth.
They've handled
barbershop versus boardroom.
Yes,
and I go boardroom on that. By the way, I'm pro boardroom.
Yeah, anti barbershop.
You know, exactly. I'm pro business. Pro boardroom.
I'm anti. Anti both, Jim. Not surprisingly, you know me and being anti. I think if you look at KD.
Tell me what you like. Every morning. It's like talking to my kids. Tell me something that went well today.
In the last break, just to bring the listeners into this, you asked him that question. And he named about 4 things he liked. But the 4th thing, he had a problem with something within it. And then he went on a 10-minute rant about all the things he didn't like again.
Yeah, he got me wrapped up a little bit during the break.
He did nothing of the sort. He asked you a question. You wrapped yourself up.
The question was out of line, asking me what I like. What does anyone like anymore?
Let me hold you and make it better.
You know what I like, Jim? I like Masters Week. So I'm going to be in a good mood all week as we get the tee times here momentarily, but I also like the NBA, and I love the Golden State Warriors. It's really the last team that still has a piece of my heart, so as we get closer to the playoffs, I get excited. When we talk about this KD thing, it fills me with dread because I don't want him to leave one of the seminal talents, one of the most unique players in the history of the association. I would love for him to retire as a Warrior. I don't believe he's decided yet. So all your polls and all your conjecture and your LeBronisms, they just annoy me, Jim.
When he comes back with the Knicks.
They annoy me.
When he comes back with the Knicks next year at the Chase Center and they have to give him his special ceremonial ring, he gets his own moment.
You stand and you cheer.
Okay. Is that what the answer
yes!
is?
Yes.
100%.
Lighter fluid jersey.
No, I'm kidding.
Turn
your ball to the court. Back 3 years ago, I'm going to go back 3 years and I'm going to say, here's your scenario. You can sign Kevin Durant this offseason. He is going to come to the Warriors. You are going to have him for 3 years, exactly 3 years, and you're going to win 3 championships during those 3 years. And then afterwards, when he's still in his prime and he's still hungry to play basketball, he is going to leave. Would you take that deal? You are a straight idiot if you say no. Nobody on earth says no to that deal.
Nobody.
So go back in time and imagine we ask you that question. Everyone would say yes. Now here you are, about to get your 3rd title, and he may leave. Who cares? Don't get upset. Why? What? There are so many things in life you can get upset about. Why would you get upset about that? You're going to be fine. He chooses to pursue greener pastures. Thank you for everything, KD. Thank you for helping to win 3 titles. Thank
I
you
agree.
For playing a very big role in bringing 3 more titles to this town.
I agree.
You just counted down your 10 greatest moments. How many of them were involved a first round playoff series win? Where was that ranked?
Yeah, not very high.
Yeah, winning a first round playoff series. It actually has a name, we believe. Well, you know, it was an 8-1. Great. That was your previous watermark. Mm-hmm. That was your high watermark as a fan base. You won a playoff series. One playoff series, and it was great, and it was memorable, and it deserves your love. But you are in a different stratosphere now. You have won 3 titles in 4 years. You're about to get 4 and 5. You're about to get 3-peat. If he decides to go play basketball elsewhere, you don't get mad. You sit back and you say, this was great. What's next? Turn your attention to Bob Myers. Well, you got in sore, Bob.
Yeah.
All right?
Let me just change
your
equation.
Put Bobby in the crosshairs.
Let me change your equation just a little bit.
Don't actually put him in the crosshairs. He's done a great job.
He's done a fabulous job. Everyone there has. But let me just change that in the very end. We sign him for 3 years, and you said you got it, and you win 3. What happens if they fall short this year? What happens if the third
they
year
won't, and I'm not having that conversation. It's not. No.
So it's done?
Who's going to beat him?
It's a fait accompli?
Yes. I had to do this last year,
right.
And Dibs and Lowe kept saying, it's well, you can't
Why are we
say
playing?
That.
Why are we playing?
Yeah, they got to make money.
Let's Come
got
on, TV Joel Zamora.
Join me on the lawn chairs on Broadway right now. Don't even worry about the floats.
Okay, give me, I'll do the same thing I did with Dibs and Lowe last year. Give me a reason why. Give me a reason why they won't win this year. Give me a valid reason.
Steph gets hurt in the playoffs.
Oh. That is the same risk every single team going into the playoffs has. Don't
right.
tell me injury. Literally every team has an injury risk going into the playoffs.
Right.
It's the same across the board. What else you got?
But you got nothing.
But you asked me, and I said, if Steph gets hurt, tell me who's going to win.
But they all have an injury.
No.
The Warriors still win.
No. You didn't tell me. Steph gets hurt, so the Kawhi gets hurt in the finals. No, Steph gets hurt. Now all of a sudden you're
still got the Warriors.
You're still going to take the Warriors.
Who else? What are my options?
Toronto.
No thanks. It's Canada.
All right.
When in doubt, Canada will need our help, not the
other
way around.
I'm wearing a BC Lions shirt today.
I did notice that.
Thank you.
Any specific reason? It's a nice looking shirt.
I'm a big fan of Canadian football.
Oh, yeah, and you married into Canada.
Yeah, I married into Canada.
I'm sorry. I retract the comment about the Raptors.
No, that's okay.
Nice
I've always said you can't trust a Canadian. That's what
While
I
While you're retracting.
I married one, yes. You know.
I am currently picking through the 1980 Jerry Lewis telethon looking for free throw shooting. So I'm going through all the old telethon footage. We're trying to get confirmation that Jim Cozumel made 110 straight free throws.
He's got me all twisted up today.
It would have been in September of 80 because 80, my junior year.
They've currently raised $30 million 39 years ago, and I haven't seen even a free throw be attempted. So I don't like your chances here, Trollsmore.
This nonsense brought to you by Fremont Bank.
Why do
Full
people listen
service
to this?
Banking, no compromises. Shout out our friends at Fremont Bank. Phone lines are juiced on the Draymond Green being the most overrated player in the NBA vote, as well as all the other stuff we've been talking about. We're going to come to you next. 888-957-9570. We've got that. We've got last night's Giants game. Hey, that was a good game. We got a good game last night. Look for the positive in everything.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
MLB The Show 19 is now out, bringing you the best of baseball. MLB The Show 19 features new game modes, expanded team building, and an extensive personalized RPG experience, rated E for everyone. For your chance to win a copy, visit the contest page at 957thegame.com. Isn't RPG the thing from Black Hawk Down? RPG! Remote rocket propelled grenade?
That sounds right.
That's not what this is. I don't believe that's what this is.
Say it with confidence. That's what we learned today.
Yeah, say it with confidence. It has to be true. An extensive personalized RPG experience, rated E for everyone. MLB The Show. Interesting. For a chance to win a copy, visit the contest page at 957thegame.com. They probably didn't see that read going in that direction. RPG! If you've ever seen Black Hawk Down, go read the book. The book is even better.
Really?
It's 50 times better, and that's a great movie. And the guy who wrote that book, I believe, also wrote the book called Killing Pablo, which is all about the rise and demise of one Pablo Escobar, which is a tremendous book as well. But that's neither here nor there at the moment. You have just entered the money spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for our gorgeous listening audience. It is a Tuesday out there. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. So let's get after it here for the next hour. First and foremost, the latest attempt to qualify for the golden ticket. Not one, but two tickets to every single Warriors home playoff game. Your three opportunities on this show are going to take place at 725, 730, 735. 725 will be the text version, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. At 7:30, it will be the Twitter account at 957thegame. And then 7:35, you will be calling the contest line. We are going to turn the show over to the phones. We are talking about a great article on The Athletic. Sam Amick, NBA insider, he joins us all the time. He quarterbacked the article, but there were 30 NBA beat writers that were used over a two-week stretch, mid-March to the beginning of April. And they polled 127 NBA players on a variety of questions. For example, who should be the MVP? I believe 44% went to James Harden, 39% went to Giannis, right? So 127 players are answering these questions. That's about a quarter of the league. And they were asked a variety of them, but they were asked anonymously, so that the hope would be that they would be willing to be more honest so that we could get a better idea of what's going on around the league. There are several areas in which this affects the Warriors, perhaps none more than the idea that Draymond Green and Russell Westbrook were voted the most overrated players in the association. Now, we've been on this a little bit, and we're going to turn it over to the phone. So if you're on, hang tight. We are going to go to you. Dibs, I'll come to you first. The idea that Draymond Green is the most overrated. Let's forget about the fact that he might be the most overrated. Is he overrated at all in general?
I don't think so, but it's the nature of being a brash and talkative player, a guy who gets a lot of technical fouls and gets a lot of attention for things other than his play, and it's for the things that he says and the way that he acts. Players see this, and they think, you're not that good. Pipe down, or, you know, you shouldn't be arguing that much. You're not an elite player. You're probably the fourth or maybe the fifth best player on your own team. So I think it's partly the backlash of the, quote, super team, and it's also a little bit of the way he is as a player.
Coase, how do you see it?
I think a lot of this is when it's the same thing with an arena that's a dump. It's our dump. But when you start calling it a dump, I get a little bit upset about it. I think we see Draymond as our guy. And all the foibles, all the mistakes, all the warts that go with him, we can gloss over because he's been a part of a championship team. He's a good guy. You see him out in the public. He's our guy with warts. But the minute someone else sees that, they get upset about it. I think a lot of that is the outsider view of what Draymond Green is.
So because there wasn't a category for most disliked, they went ahead and slighted him here by calling him overrated.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that could be. Boy, just to turn a phrase like that could have changed the way the poll gets played.
Well, that's the thing. If it's the most disliked player in the NBA, he's probably going to receive a ton of votes.
Sure.
Most overrated, he wasn't even an all-star this year, and he is a second-round pick. How is he overrated?
Maybe in the league they say, well, the same things you say. Wasn't an all-star, second-round pick, and yet we still talk about him like he's got this halo around him. I don't think that the league likes it. I don't think players in the league like seeing him get as much attention as he gets.
Well, he is a U.S. Olympian, so let's remember that. So he's considered to be one of the greatest 15 players in our country. So that puts him in a lofty status that other players don't have.
Shout out Christian Laettner.
Yes, and he has been an all-star in the past as well. So those two things combined, and I think there's backlash based on who he is for this team. The thinking being, if you played on Charlotte or Orlando, Phoenix, whatever team you want to pick, good or bad, you're not going to go out there and average 24 a game all of a sudden. You're just going to be an okay player.
888-957-9570. Let's turn it over to the people. James in Sacramento. James, Coase, are you calling the show?
I know I am. I'm in the other room
James
calling.
James in Sacramento. Is this Coase calling me while also talking to me?
It's like a Black Mirror episode. It's crazy.
What's happening here? James in Sacramento, what's up?
Hi. So thanks for calling my thanks for taking my call, guys. Good morning. First things first, I would like to say that I believe Coase made 110 free throws in a row.
Thank you, sir.
Not off to a good start here, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Take as much time as you need.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I've seen somebody made 127 in a row in my lifetime.
Oh, he's one-upping me. He gives me a compliment. He slaps me down. Go ahead, James.
About Draymond.
James, get the business. I don't want to hear any more about Coase anymore.
Okay. About Draymond being overrated, I think it's more hate than the facts. Like you guys pointed out, if there's a dislike button, you'll get that. Defense is dirty, and offense is sexy. And I think that's why James Harden is being pointed out as the MVP this year, but he's 15th when it comes to starting the franchise. How does that make sense? If you think he's the MVP, you should start the franchise with him.
Good points. Good points. Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you, James.
We've got to get ready for the contest here. That was a good phone call. And I am interested, honestly, to hear how many people truly believe Coase hit 110 free throws in a row.
It's overwhelming support.
So far, you're one for one.
He was saying he saw somebody hit 127, therefore he believes that Jim could hit 110. That was the context of that, which I don't know who to believe anymore.
All right. I think there's some truth to a couple things he was saying. Most importantly, the idea that offense perceived is very, very sexy. It's going to get you a lot more accolades, and defense viewed as a little viewed differently. And I think in the adjectives we use to describe players who excel at both is a perfect example. He started it right there by saying offense is sexy. Quarterbacks get all the love. Quarterbacks win the awards. Quarterbacks have the glory stats. Quarterbacks get the girls. You know how all that plays out. What does the best middle linebacker get? What's the best defensive tackle get? Like Aaron Donald had to absolutely turn the NFL upside down for people to finally be like, oh man, Aaron Donald's pretty good. Meanwhile, Blake Bortles can be drafted in the first round, look handsome, and it's like, hey, this guy's a franchise QB. Says who? Says who? Jacksonville? We'll jump right back into this.
Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locker. Yeah. I mean, we could run down the list.
Christian Ponder.
Oh, yeah. Christian Hackenberg.
He played for like 20 years at Florida State, it felt like. It's time for the Golden Ticket presented by the Golden State Warriors and 95.7 The Game. Each day at this time, we'll give you three chances to qualify for a pair of tickets to every Warriors home playoff game. One lucky winner will be chosen on Thursday, April 11th. The game we're playing is called Text, Tweet, or Call. First chance to qualify is through text, the Chilton Auto Body text at 95795. So text the keyword FLASH, FLASH, as in Flash Gordon, to 95795. That's 95795. Keep listening. In about 5 minutes, we'll give you another chance to qualify with a new keyword. Reminder, get your official verified playoff tickets at Warriors.com. All right. So back to the phones. Omar, San Francisco. This is on the Steph conversation. Omar, thanks for holding. Welcome to the show. Your thoughts.
Hey, what's up, guys? All right. So got three things since we're going to talk about the whole thing. So it's, you know, it's rated unanimously or whatever. All right. So MVPs. You know what? MVPs could be anything from, you know, from Steph to KD to Shaq to Kobe. I really think a lot of it is also based on the look of an actual MVP, not just the stats. I mean, true fans look at stats and go, this guy, if it wasn't for them, this and that, blah, blah, blah. But I think, you know, these younger cats, these kids, they look at guys like Jordan looks like an MVP, you know, like Giannis could be an MVP just because by looking at them, they got that G kind of mentality look. All right, that's my level take on that. Now, for, like, Draymond being overrated, I think that's just a bunch of ballers saying, you know what, man, I could beat him. He ain't the best defender, you know. That's kind of like street mentality, kind of egos, kind of swag, you know. They just throw that all in there. Like, man, he's overrated, you know. He's cool and all, but, no, I don't think he's the best defender. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of, like, these different types of votes, you're asking them not just as players, but you're also asking them as individuals, and what they feel, because they're comparing themselves. Like, I could beat them. I could be the MVP. How come nobody looks at me? You know, I just think that's how the league actually is, especially when you're talking to these guys.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you for the phone call. There's some good points there. There is a certain look to it. We are biased whether we want to admit it or not in several things that we do. Case in point, and I'll maintain this until the day I'm dead, in 2009, Ndamukong Suh was the best college football player in the country, and I don't even think it was close. He was wrecking shop at Nebraska. If you didn't watch those games, I don't blame you. Who's watching Nebraska football games living in the Bay Area back in 2009? This dude was blocking kicks, sacking guys, stopping run games. There was no more dominant, no more feared, no better, no more consistent player in college football than Ndamukong Suh. He finished fourth in the Heisman Trophy voting. And he finished fourth because it was a courtesy and it was considered a win that was he was even invited to New York. Do you know who won the Heisman Trophy that year?
Nope.
Just for fun? Mark Ingram, running back out of Alabama. Here's your top 10 that year. Mark Ingram, who had a really great season, don't get me wrong. But again, we've seen plenty of Bama running backs, T.J. Yeldon, Eddie Lacy,
Trent Richardson.
They run behind a great offensive line and a great system. Ingram, number one. Toby Gerhart, number two.
Shout out Stanford.
Colt McCoy, number three.
Welcome Horns.
Who Sue personally wrecked that game and almost kept him out of the national championship. Sue was four. Timothy Tebow was five. C.J. Spiller, six. Kellen Moore out of Boise State, covering a lot of point spreads back in the day, number seven. Case Keenum out of Houston, number eight. Marty Gilliard out of Cincinnati, number nine. Golden Tate, Notre Dame, 10. But I long maintain that Sue was the best player in the country that year, but he had no chance of winning the award because the award goes to a player who looks a certain way. And that player always looks like a quarterback. It's always a leaner guy, a muscular guy, perhaps a quarterback, perhaps a running back. Maybe you think about a wide receiver. Orlando Pace was the best player in the country the year
that ain't gonna
he
cut
came
it.
Out.
That ain't going to cut
he
it.
He was never going to win the Heisman
but
Trophy.
But he gets the Outland Trophy, which is kind of the Heisman's little brother of sorts.
It's like winning the Butkus Award for
right.
your linebacker.
Right, your Butkus, your Outland.
Yeah. You know, recognize your positional group, but you cannot qualify for anything else. That's what Draymond's suffering from here. Because people don't properly understand how to evaluate his game, he suffers as a result. People don't know how to evaluate defensive tackles. Honestly, if you find the average fan on the street, and you ask that fan what makes a good quarterback, a lot of them will be able to give you like a yardage number. You know, throw for 4,000 yards, 25, 30 touchdowns, you know, win 9, 10 games, even though wins shouldn't really matter in terms of that association, but that's an argument for another day. They'll throw that stuff out there, 65, 70% completion percentage. What makes a great defensive tackle? 15 sacks. Really? Is that the only way you can be a great defensive tackle is 15 sacks? There are great defensive tackles like Vince Wilfork. He didn't roll up 15 sacks regularly,
right.
But he's one of the greatest defensive tackles of all time. People don't know and understand how to quantify the position. The stats aren't readily available for you, and therefore they can't rank you higher because they don't understand it. We fear what we don't understand. And a guy like Draymond is one of these, yeah, he's overrated because he averages 7 points a night. Is that the only thing that happens in the NBA? Points? No, but that is what people understand. People understand what 30 points ignite means. People don't necessarily get a plus 12 rating
right.
on a nightly basis.
Or the defensive rating. Like, what's Draymond's defensive rating individually per 100 possessions? You get into such nuanced statistics. And, Jim, I don't think that we look at basketball that way. Baseball, yes. Basketball, no.
Let me quickly interrupt, Coz, because we got to get back to the contest. We are giving you another chance to qualify for the golden ticket. Text, tweet, or call is the name of the game. It's time for the tweet portion. Log on to Twitter and tweet the keyword block. B-L-O-C-K, as in blockhead. B-L-O-C-K, and use the hashtag 957GoldenTicket. Bare minimum of what you need to do on Twitter. Type the word block and then hashtag 957GoldenTicket. You want to throw a take or a joke in there? That's fine. You want to link into us into it? That's fine, too. But the bare minimum you need to qualify is the word block, hashtag 957GoldenTicket. One more chance to qualify coming up in about 5 minutes.
All right. When I think of Draymond Green, you get a couple of images. Some, unfortunately, aren't great. For instance, kicking Steven Adams in the junk.
You're really fixated on that. When, at what point will you be able to let that go?
Also, I get this image. What did Steve Kerr famously say on the floor this year about his most overrated player?
He said, good hustle, Draymond.
He said, I'm sick of Draymond's S. He got caught saying it, and now I'm going to bring it all back home from the 707. This is one of the greatest texts we've gotten today from the 707. I wonder how many votes for Draymond being overrated came from Warriors players. Think it through that way. When your head coach is saying, I'm sick of his S, how many other guys fall in line with that? How many guys in the Warriors look at Draymond and go, I'm rolling my eyes again? Hmm?
You can be sick of somebody's
You're welcome.
S. You're
I
welcome.
I don't know. They're, that was they're, pretty, they're brothers that was pretty in flimsy. There. Yeah, it's a little flimsy.
You're welcome.
I appreciate the effort. I appreciate the effort.
You should have gone with thank you next instead of you're welcome. It's much more current. Shout out Ariana Grande.
They love him. He does all that dirty work that they don't want to do.
Yes.
His dirty work allows Steph to do what he wants to do on the offensive end. First of all, the guy gets no credit whatsoever for the screen setting and the passing.
None.
He gets all credit.
No, he doesn't,
Jim. That's all
we
do is talk about that, what the, all the little things he does.
We do. He never makes it. Well, okay. If the Warriors are a national story, what's generally the reason? Forget about wins and losses. Because if they're a national story.
And Draymond yelling at each other in the Clipper game.
Okay, that was one. That's a negative. That involves those two yelling at each other. What are the other storylines? Generally,
KD leaving,
Steph Curry drilling threes,
Steph chasing the Hall of Fame, Klay Thompson headed for free agency. There are a lot of great storylines that come out of this team. There are a lot of negative ones. There's just a lot to talk about. How often does Draymond end up in it for any reason other than he picked up a technical or he, quote, misbehaved or something else?
Not very often.
How often is the national story how well he's playing? Even when he plays really well. He got about a year of shine. He got about a year where people are like, man, that guy's the ultimate Swiss Army knife. He does everything. He's the ultimate glue guy. He got all those standard compliments, and he got about 1 year worth of real shine, and then that was it. That's it, right? Now people recognize, but he doesn't get the credit Steph does. You can understand when Klay has a great game. Because he'll go out and drop 20 and a quarter. You know when Steph has a great game. You know when KD has a great game. Hell, you know when Boogie has a great game. He's had a few of them lately. You do not know when Draymond has a great game. He might go 7-10-10, and you'll look there and be like, ah, Draymond had a nice night. 7-10-10 is huge with all the facilitating he's doing, all the heavy lifting. How many times at his size has he been asked to guard centers and take on defensive matchups that are absolute nightmares? The Houston series, I remember, wasn't he stuck on Capella trying to D up him? I mean, it goes on and on. He was asked to guard Thompson, all the guys he's been asked to deal with. He generally does not have the size advantage, but he's got to find a way to at least limit what's going on out there on the court. The fact that people would say he's overrated, they don't like him.
They don't watch the game either, Coach, because you look at the box score and you look at the Warriors and they win 124 to 110, and you see KD had 28, Steph had 26, Klay had 22, Draymond with a triple single, maybe 8, 7, and 6, and you don't realize all the things he did, all the little things. Yeah, he's probably a plus 25 in that game, but you don't always look to plus minus as the end all be all. You have to watch him play to truly appreciate it. And these other NBA players, they're not watching it because they're playing their own games.
Nah, they watch games every night.
It's your final chance to qualify for the golden ticket here on Joe Low and Dibs for today. And remember, tomorrow's the last day, so get in now. Now, listen, if you're going to call, it's the contest line, okay? The contest line. So many of you are so quick to call the hotline. That's probably partially on us because we have like 5,000 numbers we give out on a regular basis. The contest line is how you qualify. The number is 844-999-GAME. 844-999-GAME. Caller number 23 in honor of our boy Draymond Green. 844-999-GAME. You're going to qualify to win a pair of tickets to every Warriors home playoff game. Now, if you don't get through, don't worry. You'll have opportunities throughout the rest of the day here on 95.7 The Game. You'll also have another chance tomorrow on this show. As a reminder, go to 957thegame.com for details. Don't forget, get your official verified playoff tickets at warriors.com. I can't believe the playoffs are this weekend. I can't believe we're already in April. It's like mid-April.
That's true.
Playoffs are this weekend. College hoops are done. The Masters is this weekend. Cinco de Mayo's right around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
We got some fights
the
coming
Derby.
Up.
We got the Derby. Don't sleep in the Derby.
Locks. We'll have locks for that,
Mint
too.
Juleps for all
locks.
Our friends. It's one of my favorite weekends of the NBA calendar because you get all eight series. You get four on Saturday. You get four on Sunday. All of the playoff series start on just that one weekend. So you kind of get that sense of like a marathon when your favorite show, back before all the DVR and all the recordings, you get a marathon. You watch like 14 Cheers in a row or maybe 12 Friends if that's how you roll.
I have long maintained that. Are you talking Cinco de Mayo this weekend?
I'm talking this weekend.
You're talking this weekend.
Yeah, the
okay,
NBA the playoff opening 2 days because it's all the game ones. All the teams have hope that maybe they can either pull off an upset or they're going to advance. You get the four Saturday. You get the four Sunday. I enjoy that.
I have long maintained that the greatest sports weekend, actually the greatest weekend on the calendar for Las Vegas, is Cinco de Mayo weekend. I don't think anything tops.
Why is that?
You are just, you're action-packed. First and foremost, that always used to be a Mayweather fight. And whether or not you like Mayweather, when Mayweather fought, that town was on another level. That was what the those were the best weekends in that town. So Canelo's kind of taking it over, but there will be a fight. There's always a fight on Cinco de Mayo weekend. So you've got the title fight in Vegas is always huge, even if you're not going. That also means there's going to be ancillary fights, which means you'll have something at like the Cosmo on a Friday night. You have the Derby, which is an awesome experience. No matter where you are, every single human being in the casino stops to watch the Derby. The best 2 minutes in sports, right?
Right.
So everyone will stop to watch the Derby. Everyone's going to wager on the Derby. Everyone's got the fight that night. You've got NBA playoffs. You've got NHL playoffs. You are just stacked. The weather's awesome. You've got a three-day. You don't have a three-day weekend. No, whatever. Take a 3-day weekend.
Yeah,
take
exactly.
A 4-day weekend. It's America. That's how we do things around here. That's the weekend I've always maintained is the best because you are start to finish. You wake up Saturday, you're full throttle all the way through the evening.
That's good.
All the way
right
through
there.
The evening.
That's good. But I will tell you this: the best playoffs in this time of year begin Wednesday night. NHL playoffs are the best because it's every other day, nonstop. NBA, I'm going to get my Saturday. I'm going to get my Sunday. Then I might have to wait 4 days for another game with my particular series. NHL and the action packed. Forget it. Best playoffs of all the pro sports.
Pound for pound, shift for shift.
It's tough
shift
to argue. It's tough to argue because it's the only sport where you have the eight truly having an opportunity to beat the one. Like the second the playoffs start in hockey, it's a complete free-for-all. Anything
crap
can
shoot,
happen
right?
There.
It's a roll of the dice.
There's a lot of unpredictability. You have a lot of series where you go in. I remember years ago when the Kings and the Blues had this series, maybe like 2011, 2012. It wasn't supposed to be anything, and it got chippy in night one, and then every single night they were just at war with one another. And it's one of those things only, like, some people, there's just a select few people that are tracking this stuff. It's not national news, so you're watching, and if you're on social, you can find Kings Blues Twitter, and it's just, it's incredible.
It's
the
awesome.
NHL playoffs are very, very good.
Yep, all you gotta do is ask Sharks fans. 1 year they won the President's Trophy with the best record in the league, most points in the league. They get bounced in round one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's fun because you might get that triple or quadruple overtime game where you start watching it in the second period. Maybe you join it late. It's like, oh, man, now I'm locked into this baby for the duration.
That's I had a final. I can't remember what the class was. I was a freshman in college, and I had a final the next morning, and the Flyers and the Penguins went five overtimes.
Oh.
And the entire building was stayed up for this. And this is a game that starts, 7 o'clock. Five OTs takes you well past midnight.
Yeah, those aren't 5 minute overtime periods, by the way.
And you're drinking. I mean, you're not drinking.
Sure.
So this final got just, everyone had mailed it in, and it was just the entire night. You track this entire game, almost eight full periods of hockey all the way into the early hours. Keith Primeau, as many or zero outside of myself remember. But yeah, it was a five overtime game. It was a great series.
Luckily, they were grading it on a curve, so only the three non-hockey fans did well. All the rest of you bombed out.
Yeah. Good job.
What do we make of tonight and tomorrow? Warriors are a 7-point favorite taking on the Pelicans tonight. And then tomorrow they'll have the Grizz. The word on the street is that there's going to be a sitting. Oh my God, they're up to a 9-point favorite. Who's betting on them? They're not playing their starters. They're sitting half of them, aren't they?
Right, they're going to sit half tonight, and then they're going to sit the other half tomorrow. But there's the sense that even if you have, you know, Steph and Clay, let's say, both playing, or Steph and KD playing, that'll be enough to not only be competitive, but also possibly win these games. You don't need your full complement to win these two pretty soft road games.
All right, so help me out here. We're not going to sit them, the stars, for these last two games. And the rationale is, well, a week layoff is a long, long amount of time. This is a precision game. You want to stay sharp. Well, then why aren't you playing them together? Like, what does it matter if they're not going to, if you're going to play them because you want them to stay sharp, but KD and Clay might get rest while Draymond and Steph play? What, I don't understand. Isn't that counterproductive?
To me, it's a better version of load management. You cannot duplicate the cardiovascular, the actions that you take in-game. You cannot duplicate those on a practice court, and you can't duplicate those on a treadmill. So let them get some action. Difference between playing college 2 games a week and the NBA almost 4 games a week. Give them just enough to whet the appetite, to keep the skills going, for them to remember the speed of the game, but don't overtax them.
It's individual flow versus collective flow, and I think you're absolutely spot on there, Jim, because this team at 80 games into the season, even though DeMarcus Cousins has only been there for half the year, Bogut's been there for a quarter of the year, you still feel like you have enough team flow to where you don't need to replicate that. But it's the individual freshness that you need to make sure you have, which is why you sit a few tonight, you sit a few tomorrow. You don't worry about the collective unit and the flow of the collective unit, because that's already been established. That's hay in the barn, so to speak.
You already know from Warriors PR, Bogut, Iguodala, and Durant are all out for tonight. 9-point favorites in a game they don't need to win. Are you kidding me? What am I missing here? The fact that the Pelicans stink? That's probably one thing I haven't highlighted.
I don't know. Their G League beat the Kings the other night.
Also, I've Ian lost
Clark
three straight in
like
this
Steph
Giants
Curry.
Bet.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, well, I've lost. Yeah, we're...
How we doing?
I got my lucky shirt on today. I only wear this shirt for the birth of children. I'm literally wearing the lucky shirt today. I gotta turn this thing around.
We are not that deep into the season, brother.
And he's got a lucky shirt on you. I was wondering, because I saw that first thing this morning about 4:30, 4:45. Yeah. I was like, that shirt has some significance, but I'm not awake yet.
This shirt has been through win after win. Coz, I don't even have enough time to lay out all the wins this shirt's been through. Bought it for $12 in a New Orleans thrift shop, and it has been nothing but wins.
Really?
And I've lost three straight in this Giants thing. I had the last night, it was the under 4 runs in the first 5 innings.
Yes.
Everything was cooking. Top 4th, no runs. Pilar, welcome to town. Great to have you here. Thanks for the grand slam.
Out of here.
This Baum Lauer. Fantastic. Like, get him out of the game. And then he ends up getting the win.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. So I gotta write the ship. I might go triple wager tonight. I might go 3-unit. Bet 162 coming up at 9:45. Oh, but I got the lucky shirt on.
I was thinking of you last night when I saw the announcement come over my phone. Grand Slam Pilar. I'm thinking, uh-oh.
It's a nice moment for everyone.
And I believe
really
you.
Really nice.
And I believe
that
you
thing was, that thing was dead away gone, too. I didn't even have the chance as it was sailing to think maybe it's going to get caught up in the rain and the wind.
No.
He planted that thing halfway up the bleachers. It was an incredible shot. Incredible.
And not only was that a loss, I believe you guaranteed the under on 118.5. It was Mush Monday.
I thought I said under 218.5.
I believe it was 118.5.
That got home. See, that's contrarian thinking. Everyone all of a sudden loved the under. Dibs has been on the right side a lot lately. I'm not pointing at him, but a lot of people on social.
Nice.
This game's going to be an under. Why? Because of what you saw Saturday?
You can point that at me. The way Texas Tech played defense and the way Virginia's tempo, I thought that it would be more like the first half. I think it was like 57.
It started your way. It started your way first 4 minutes. It was like 3-2 with 15 minutes
exactly.
ago in the first.
Loving
3-2.
I was watching it like I would watch a baseball game where you wait for the crack of the bat and then you run in and see what happened, you know, because you're in the kitchen cooking.
I agree. I think I was doing the same thing. I'm not kidding, because there was such little action going on early.
My wife,
see, this
actually,
is why you gamble. See, now you're just watching every game to see if
locked
you win
in
or
on
lose.
Every possession. My wife was in the living room and she was making all this noise. I'm like, you watching the game? She said, no, I'm on the phone. You idiot. Of course I'm not watching the game.
Wow.
I go in there, it's on mute, 3-2. at the under 16 timeout.
Fantastic.
I'm thinking this baby's going to come home easy.
Early on, Nance had a, Texas Tech hasn't had a bucket in about 6.5 minutes. You're damn right they haven't.
Yeah, I know.
And then all of a sudden, you just had to score. I mean, they were all hot from three. Everybody was hot from three last night.
And overtime, and the refs again favoring Virginia on the close calls. Hard to see that coming.
Is it fair for me to start to listen? Like, if whatever, let's take last night's game. I know the number's 118.5. Is it fair for me to start to listen to the announcers to see if they in some way are cognizant of that and are using it in their call to keep the interest of the fan? And we know what Al Michaels does. But you know what I'm saying?
For a game like last night, you probably don't have to worry about it because it's a national title game.
Okay.
But I see your point if we're talking about just a regular season
game. Sure, okay.
And yeah, I am of the opinion that I think you're not doing your job as a broadcaster if you are unaware of the point spread and the total. That doesn't mean you have to bet. That doesn't mean you have to understand gambling. That doesn't mean you have to incorporate it in the broadcast. But if you're going into the game and you are unaware of what those numbers are, I think you're doing a disservice. Time and time again, you'll have these scenarios play out where it's, oh, you know, what an upset. No, you see that in bowl season all the time. What a great upset from Southern Miss. They're a 2-point favorite. It's not an upset. Like, I think understanding just where Vegas sees it helps you in your preparation, right? I really do believe that it at least gives you some indication. If the professionals are telling you last night that Virginia's a small favorite in that game, you realize this should be a good battle. Meanwhile, if you've got a 9-point spread, you're thinking, all right, if this team isn't dusting them, this game's a little bit better than expected.
But isn't the number not the assessment of the potential of the game? The number is the assessment of how you want the money to lay down. Like, that's how that's what
it's
moves
both,
the line.
I think, in some ways, because the line is obviously set to attract action on both sides, but the line is also somewhat indicative of how the game should and likely will play out. And I think as sports gets more comfortable with this and more states begin to legalize it, you're going to see sports coverage resemble business channel coverage, where let's take a look at this stock and they show you the 12-month trend, the 3-month trend, what's it done today, all the other numbers that are related to it. They do that with sports so well, but not with the gambling side of it yet.
I don't know, Joe. It doesn't sound like it has a life for me.
let me give you some numbers for tonight's NBA games. If you had no other information to work on and you only had the point spread, what would you say about these games? And we haven't done this before. You guys are totally in the dark on what these numbers are going to be. So tell me what you think of this. The Miami Heat, currently not a playoff team, taking on the Philadelphia 76ers, who are the 3 seed. Miami is a 4.5-point favorite. What does that tell you?
What?
That doesn't make sense.
Tells me Philly's resting at least two or three guys in that game.
Exactly. Okay, so first and foremost, it's now telling you you need to look into the why. Why would the much better team that's had much more success find themselves as a 4.5-point dog against a Miami team that's really struggled over the last 2 weeks? Answer, Philly's locked into the three. They've played like garbage as of late. They've been resting Embiid. Miami is playing for their playoff lives. They have to win this game. That is why you see that at 4.5. Let me throw this one out at you. That's interesting. The Los Angeles Lakers are 9.5-point dogs to the Portland Trailblazers.
9.5-point dogs.
Yeah. At the very least, it tells you the Lakers stink, right?
Well, it tells me that the Lakers don't have Kuzma, Ingram, Ball, James, Johnson, Abdul-Jabbar, Worthy, Rambis, Shaq.
Let me ask you about this game. Bulls minus 1.5 versus Knicks.
Bulls minus 1.5.
That's an interesting one.
That's a game that both want to lose.
Plenty of tickets still available.
Yeah, nice.
Plenty of tickets still available.
Click and roll at Bulls.org.
Knicks. These two met, I think it was last week. It may have been 2 weeks ago. It was in New York. The Knicks were a 3-point favorite. It was like the sixth time this season they were a favorite. And it was, oh, you got to take the Bulls. No, that game smells so bad. It smells so bad that the Knicks are a 3-point favorite. You have to play them. And they ended up winning by like eight or nine. The Knicks controlled that game. They look like world beaters. Well, they don't need KD.
Interesting because the Knicks are locked in as the 30 seed, the 30th team in the NBA. They will have the worst record in the association.
They did a great job.
Yeah, they nailed it.
They did a great job getting to that worst record.
So if you're Chicago, not even close. Chicago's not playing for anything either. They're locked into the fourth worst. So that one's just a throw the records out mess of a game.
Yeah. Chicago's just been pulling guys off the streets.
You know, they have been, but it could be a game then.
What you do is you probably bet the over. No one's going to play any defense. Okay. Who shows up to play defense in a game like that?
Right.
Answer, nobody.
In a game nobody wants to win.
Is anyone in this game capable of knocking down a shot?
So I think all those things are interesting sidelights, especially as it pertains to game 81 in the association when you have all these games that are, quote, meaningless, mm-hmm. the gambling angle does give it additional context.
Warriors-Pelicans over under 235. That is a monster number. Clearly, the Pelicans have been playing at, I believe, a top five pace this year. They move fast.
And I think since the All-Star break, fastest team in the NBA. Fastest pace since the All-Star.
Surprise me.
Right in that general range. They have been playing an incredible pace, letting it fly, shooting threes like crazy.
That's interesting, though, because the Warriors, again, locked in at the one, and we know no Iguodala, no KD.
And no Bogut.
And no Bogut. So you think about Steph and Clay, they're not going to play 38 minutes. Even if that game is nip and tuck, you see those guys probably getting about 30 minutes. You're going to see some Quinn Cook. You probably get a lot of Damian Lee. I don't know if the under would be the play in that one for me. I don't know if the Warriors are going to have enough firepower.
You stay away from it, but I take the nine with the Pelicans, not to be a hater. Do the Warriors have any reason whatsoever to blow anybody out? Okay, they want to stay sharp, which is why some of the starters are going to play. You got to be insane to play in more than 30 minutes.
Right.
What would be the reason for more than 30 minutes tonight?
No reason.
You don't need to win.
No reason. You can
play them, get some minutes, and then say, all right, shut it down. Let the backups handle this, right? Is there any logic to having them in late? If you're up by three?
No.
Like, you're not actually trying to win this game.
No.
I mean, you'd like to.
Sure.
But you don't. That's not your priority tonight. Your priority's got to be surviving, being healthy.
Yeah, the season win total, Joe, is, what was it, like 64? Was it not 63? It was up there, so I don't think that that's in play at all either, if memory serves.
Forget about that.
Because they're at 56 right now. So I don't think
they're not going to get to it.
No,
I think it was a little bit lower this year, but they don't. Yeah, they win the next two. They're not going to get there.
Right. So I don't think
another miss by us. We talked about that before the season.
Yeah,
and you called the under last year, and we didn't do anything
this
about
year
it.
Too. But we both decided, we agreed that betting against the Warriors in any season long capacity is not good for business.
It makes you sick. Yeah. The last thing you want to do is bet against the Warriors and then sit there. I had this happen once. I think it was like three. This was before Durant. I'm in Vegas, and I'm going to have dinner at the Wynn. And I had the Bulls against the Warriors. The Bulls were getting a bunch of points. I want to say it was at Oracle. It was this awful scenario for the Warriors. It was like their third game in four nights. The Bulls were rested. There were all these trends pointing to the Bulls. And the Bulls controlled the game for 46 minutes. And the Warriors are like losing this game. I want to say it was maybe a December game. And with like 4 minutes to go, they go from being down to not only winning, they cover the spread. And there were like nine jabronis in the sports book rooting for this. And the war, of course, Steph, everyone's just knocking down every shot. They blow him out of the water. And I'm the one idiot sitting there going, why? What was the thought process? That's five, buddy.
Why?
Your mic.
Oh, my God.
That's 10.
This guy.
I got bad headphones.
I don't even know you anymore.
Yeah, that's two.
I
know.
Yeah, it is two.
Not even knowing it was off.
Wow. No, it's consecutive plays where you false start. It's the crowd noise.
You came off the timeout and immediately took a delay again.
You may want to sub me out. Seriously, nice guy, get in here. I'm going to have to run for the twos for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And all of a sudden, I'm the twos? Now I'm the twos. No, I don't think so, sir. I don't think so. Because I've been here enough, by the way.
When is Lowe coming back?
I don't know.
I haven't gotten a definitive answer to that. I was told today, and then I was not told today.
Exactly.
Did you even know you were working today?
No, I did not. I
got classic a late text. Switchola.
Yeah, it was. And then I got a good new nickname, Jim Lorenzo Moore. So I'll take it. So it's like he's here anyway.
Someone on the Chilton Auto Body text line, speaking of which, is claiming that Stephen A. is ripping off one of our takes.
Really?
The take we had a few days ago about the idea, I think this was last week, that the Warriors... Similar situation with Durant and Steph to the Yankees with Jeter and A-Rod. Stephen A. is not ripping off anything, people. You got to understand, this is art for the people. We create these ideas. We throw out million-dollar winners, not because we trademark everything. No. No. Who was the famous guy that put penicillin out there for free?
Is that Louis Pasteur?
No, he was the pasteurized guy.
I'd love to be able to call you on that, but...
Jonas Salk.
That might be it. Did someone actually give that to you?
No, absolutely not.
That?
Look at those two back there.
Rather than patent it, whether it was the flu virus or whatever, rather than patent it, put it out there for the people because he didn't want to make money on it. He wanted to be able to help humanity. That's what this show is. We're Jonas Salk, the show, if that's even
you.
The guy.
Good
or
on
Louis
you.
Pasteur. You know,
I'm looking at
whatever. You need it.
My mic's on, so I don't care if I'm right or wrong. Bottom line is, I got over the air for a change.
888-957-9570. This article.
Yeah, can I bring this back around real quick? Because as much as we're getting juice out of this now, and there's a lot of stuff in there, like the Durant, where players, 63% of NBA players who were polled in this think Durant's gone to the New York Knicks. Just the Knicks. You look overall, I know that Golden State's next to 20%, but a lot of these guys think he is on his way out. There's one thing to note. For all the juice we get today, there's going to be more from The Athletic today on this. This is the 30,000-foot view. They're going to start to get a little granular with it today and maybe get a little more specific on what some of this data means and what some of the quotes were from some of these guys. So looks like you guys could have a whole new day tomorrow on this stuff.
Yes. 127 players were polled anonymously by 30 NBA beat writers on The Athletic.
And we look forward to talking with you about it again tomorrow
exactly,
as well, Jim.
I'll be ready to go.
You'll be in,
regardless. Of those 127, 109 weighed in on the question, where will Kevin Durant be playing next season? 63% to New York. They say where there's smoke, there's fire. How alarming should this be? If you want Durant to stay, which everyone does, he's the best player in the world right now, 63% of NBA players, when speaking under the condition of anonymity, they don't have to worry about having their name on it, they're telling you they think he's leaving. Why would they be saying that? Why would 63% be convinced he's going to New York? It wasn't, will he leave Golden State, and it's just open-ended yes, no. 63% said the Knicks. Now, granted, there have been a lot of stories out there linking them, but these guys, they know each other going way back. A guy knows a guy knows a guy, right? The Warriors' 6 degrees of separation are connected to every single player in the NBA. 63% saying the Knicks, that's a lot of smoke right there.
Yes, guys. And these NBA players are all connected by 1 degree because they all know each other. They exchange jerseys after games. They hang out in tunnels.
Right?
And it's great.
Middle school, AAU, they've been playing with one
another. It's one of the things that has made the players in the NBA the most powerful group of pro athletes because they have the ability to collude among themselves. It's not illegal for KD and LeBron James to cover their mouths and chat when the Lakers are playing the Warriors. So because of that, Kevin Durant, becoming a free agent, has the ability to talk to players and really informally pull, hey, you know, what do you guys think about New York? Or you talk to New York players. Tell me about the owner for sure. So I'm sure KD has done his own due diligence as far as exploring other options. And because of that, the word gets out that he's looking around.
Let me ask you this. In what league can one guy leave and change the course of a franchise so much? For instance, if Mike Trout, who we'd say is the best baseball player, if he leaves and goes somewhere, is that alone going to change the fortune of that franchise?
Which franchise? The franchise he's leaving or the franchise he's joining?
The franchise he's joining.
In baseball, less than anybody else.
How about in the NFL?
It's got to be the quarterback.
It's got to be the quarterback?
Well, like,
and
look
even
at,
that?
Who else could it be? Like Khalil Mack going to the Bears, he made them better. He definitely made them better.
Absolutely.
By how much?
Look at
how
D Ford coming to the Niners. He makes their defense better, but it's not like he comes in and turns them from a 28-win lottery team to a 50-win six seed.
That's what I mean.
So basketball
player. It is basketball.
So it is. So that's, boy, that's interesting. They've got a ton of power that they wield.
Incredible amount.
And
the league has given them, the league has done them a better service than any other league. The players in the NBA are treated better than anywhere else. It's got to be a fact. You got guaranteed deals. You don't have to operate under like 6 years of service time like you do in Major League Baseball. You say things that you don't like and they react. You know, we don't like playing 3 and 4 nights. We don't like all these back-to-backs. Okay, we'll make a change. They aggressively market you, the player. Try pulling that off in the NFL. They market the brand. We talk about this all the time.
Right.
Monday Night Football is always, it's the Packers and the Bears live from Lambeau.
Helmets colliding.
In the NBA, it's tonight, it's Westbrook and Harden. Tonight. You will hear that it's Westbrook versus Harden before you hear that it's Oklahoma City versus Houston.
Why are the NBA's ratings going down then?
Because the players don't care. The players do not care about the regular season. All right, little radio trick, and you know this, but we'll pull it back for the listeners. If you have a situation where, say, game one against the Clippers, the Warriors get the Clippers Saturday, Warriors lose that game,
mm-hmm.
We're selling panic on Monday.
Sure you are.
It doesn't necessarily mean you believe the sky is falling, but you come in, you sell a sense of urgency. Not because you're trying to dupe anybody, because that's what it is. That's what's compelling.
And did they expose the Warriors, even though the Clippers won't beat them, did they expose the Warriors enough so that a better team will be able to exploit it?
See, those are all the great storylines that are out there.
I'll be in on Monday.
That's exactly how you go about creating compelling content. That's what people want to discuss. That's how you do it. In the NBA, when the players are telling you regular season doesn't matter, all right, I believe you. I believe you. That's the most dangerous thing that's going on right now is the players telling you this doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter until April. And the player and the fans are listening to that and going, all right, I'll listen to you.
Then,
sure.
Then let me fix the NBA. How about shorter regular seasons?
It's never going to happen. You can never suggest that for anything.
No sport has ever reduced its schedule.
Adam Silver brought it up himself at the MIT.
That just means less money. When you say shorter schedule, the first thing what you really mean is less money. And who's ever going
to
agree to that?
Go to the owners' meetings and have every owner take out $10 million and just throw it into a pile in the middle of the room, pour gasoline on it, and just burn it up, Coz, because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to take money out of Joe Lacob's pocket, and I won't sit here and allow you to do that. And Peter Goober, too, for that matter.
Exactly. Let's defend the 1%.
You know, that's usually cool.
Look at that. Exactly.
What are you working my side of the street for? That's my side of the street.
And you're trying to take food out of a Vivek Ranadive's family's mouths right there.
You think the players
and
are
I won't
willing to
stand
do that
for that
too?
Either.
You think the players?
They'll have to take a smaller pie, too.
Exactly.
I don't know if they want less money. So you've got 82 games, so how do you solve the issue? How do you make it more compelling?
But what if the league said, listen, we're doing no one a service right now by having 82 games, more than a handful of which mean nothing. We look at the NFL where every game means something. Even down to week 17, when the two worst teams are going at it, it means something in the draft. Let's tighten our schedule up a little bit. Let's make every game worth a little bit more and make you guys physically able to play more because I'm sick of load management. And we get to a playoffs.
Here's what you do, Jim. You take the season and you break it down into 20-game increments. And you say, we're going to have four 20-game seasons. If you're the winner of the first 20 games, you go to the playoffs. So even if you're a crappy team, maybe the first 20, the second 20, the third 20, you don't win. But that fourth 20-gamer, you could win that and still get a playoff spot. If you do well over 82, you get an at-large berth. But the four winners of the four quadrants would get playoff bursts. There'd be more urgency scattered throughout the year. You're welcome.
Let that marinate a bit. I love that. You are listening
you're
to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning. Welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Joe, Coz, and Dibs. You're on 95.7 The Game. Greg Popp at 8:30, George Carl at 9:10, Matt Barrows at 9:35. So to create more urgency, you're dividing the NBA season. You're going to take two games away from 82 to 80.
You go 21-20, 20-21 if you need to.
Okay, sure.
Just keep it at 82. That's keep it civil.
So four quadrants, and if you win a quadrant, you're in the playoffs.
Yes.
So that gives you four winners.
Four automatic qualifiers.
All right, so that's four of 16. So where are the other 12 playoff teams
the other
from?
Four
what
per
if
conference.
I win twice?
Excuse me if I may finish laying out the scenario.
Okay.
The
you other, get so upset when you get interrupted.
Because I'm on a roll right now. I'm fixing the NBA. I'm trying to change the world here, and he's over there telling me I'm wrong.
All right, I'm fascinated. Continue.
So the next best records in your conference would get the at-large berths. If the same team won all four 20-game quadrants, then the next seven best records in the West would get these seven at-large berths. Boom. Problem solved.
Whatever. You got to tighten the season up. You should not start any NBA season before November 1st, and you should not play another game in the regular season after April 1st. That's the time you have on your calendar. Fit the right amount of games, whether it's three games a week, two and a half games a week, whatever it is in that time span. You figure that part out. That's the way you got to get it done. And you figure out how many ever games it is. Let's say I've got a $1 million contract with the NBA for 82 games. Do the math. You're playing a 70-game schedule. All right, we'll do the math and figure out how much you get out of that $1 million. Same thing for your corporate partners. Same thing for your tickets. Let's restart our system because the system's starting to fail.
70 games still leads to too much inaction, too many games that don't matter. In the quadrant system, Jim, you'd be sitting there at 11-7, and maybe you're a game out with just two games to go in the first quadrant. All of a sudden, we got ourselves a must-win here in November.
Yeah, but if you win a quadrant, you have no incentive to play the rest of the season.
That's what I mean.
That's one of the drawbacks here. If I win the opening quadrant, I can go ahead and just give everybody off for the next 60 games because I'm already in the playoffs.
And what if I win two of those quadrants?
And the look
quadrants?
You're giving me is this look like you didn't think that part through. Yeah. Your idea, I like your idea, but there's a lot that really needs to be flushed out
now,
there.
The one
you
idea,
need a plumber, Tibbs, and you need one now.
But I appreciate you playing our game. That's very nice of you. We got some parting gifts for you. But here's
your idea, loosely thought out.
No. I've spent years on this show. I spent years. Cozumore is asking Steph Curry to give up $3 million to just...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.